Mets. Get you up to date on quite a number of news headlines. We call it the D-Rush Hour news headlines.
The headlines you might have missed. Without missing a beat. This is your fast pass through the biggest and most impactful stories of the day. Welcome to the D-Rush Hour headlines. Starting with the lead.
And our first story in the lead is a not shocking development, but a breaking one, that a grand jury did indict Vance Belter on first-degree murder charges. You heard the latest from Taylor Rivera in our newsroom just a couple of minutes ago. Many people wondered why Vance Belter was not charged with first-degree murder. But in Minnesota, the law is such that only a grand jury can indict for first-degree murder, first-degree meaning with intent. He was indicted on two counts of first-degree, four counts of attempted first-degree, a count of felony animal cruelty as well. All of this going back to June 14th, when Belter allegedly murdered Melissa Hortman, her husband Mark, tried to kill John Hoffman, Yvette, and their daughter Hope, and then tried to attack Kristen Boehner, another state representative who was out of town. But they say he pounded on her door. It does not matter that she wasn't home. It was still an attempt, according to the charges. Mandatory life in prison without parole is the max penalty you can get in Minnesota. That is why the federal government has filed charges, because the federal government has a death penalty for this type of crime. And so there has been a little bit of jockeying as to who is going to prosecute first. Will it be Hennepin County or the feds? But right now it's going to be the feds.
Right. The feds sort of have right of first refusal on this, and they've just indicated they're not going to give that up, even though Mary Moriarty has asked them to. But you still go through this process locally of the grand jury and getting these indictments, because you never know what happens necessarily in the federal trial. And obviously this individual has been trying to do interviews,
right,
and drum up support in certain areas of the internet that will remain nameless, and who, you know, you never know, right? So the president obviously could come in at some point. I'm not saying he will, but could come at some point and issue a pardon that would wipe out the federal charges.
Yeah.
So if you're Mary Moriarty, you put these in place as a backstop, at least.
Well, you would do this regardless.
This is just
how it works. This is how it worked with Chauvin. This is how it works.
Yeah.
This is how,
part of the process.
It's part of the process.
Absolutely,
part of the process for sure. Next up in the lead is rain at Target Field. Right now, if you're watching on the live stream, it is pouring out here at Target Field. First pitch scheduled for 6:05. The radar showing this rain moving through, but if you're getting ready to leave work or you're out on the roads right now, it's definitely going to cause some delays. The grounds crew is working feverishly, Dan.
Yes, working hard. Just a quick correction. First pitch scheduled for 6:40.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yes, pregame at 6.
Correct.
First pitch at 6:40. Hopefully the rain will be out of here by then.
I mean, skies are pretty light around us, so you wouldn't think that this would last for very long, but it's coming down hard enough that obviously they had to get the tarp out just to protect the infield.
It is fun to watch. If you miss it live, you can go back and check our WCCO radio live feed at any point. All right, we'll move on to next up in the lead, our third item, and that is a DFL state senator arrested on suspicion of DUI. This is, to me, a scenario where our legislators need to have some sort of standard for behavior, because we had the state senator who is charged with felony burglary, and she kept her seat until she decided to resign. Now we have a DFL state senator accused of DUI, and he likely will be able to keep his seat. Now, Tu Shong, the DFL state senator, according to the state patrol, blew a .09, which the legal standard for driving a car is .08. It would be easy to dismiss that as like, well, he was just barely over. He was over. We have far too permissive of an attitude towards drunk driving in this state, and this is his second time.
I think that's even more important than whatever the number would be, right? That you've gone through something like this before, and in response to it, you do it again? That's obviously a questionable judgment call on that person's part, and I think their constituents would be very much within their rights to wonder if this individual should continue to represent them.
2022, he pled guilty to driving under the influence. This is his second arrest. Both of them happened while he was in office. So voters can make their decision, but to me, two strikes and you're out. One more story to talk about in the lead, and that is 5 months of motoring misery. That's the way the Star Tribune headline characterized the Interstate 94 construction between Minneapolis and St. Paul, and this weekend is the final full closure, and then it all is going to be open again. Happy days are here again, because getting, as someone who loves St. Paul and loves to go from Minneapolis to St. Paul, it has been a royal pain to get from downtown St. Paul to here. That's been harder. Getting here to there has been a little easier. But, oh, boy, has it been bad,
it's
Dan.
It's a challenge, to say the least, and just part of the misery that has been this summer when it comes to road construction. So, you know, it's glad that this is going to be the last weekend of it. They can finally get it cleared up before the state fair starts. And people can get back and forth between the cities.
No doubt. That was part of the motivation to get it done in time for the fair. This started in April. It's just been two lanes in each direction. They've been fixing the bridge. We're glad they're fixing the bridge.
Yes.
We bellyache about the construction, but we are glad that they've been repairing the bridge over the Mississippi River and four others. But the backups have been challenging. So now it'll be closed from 10 p.m. tomorrow night until the start of the morning rush on Monday. And the whole freeway between 35W and 280 shut down. So make alternate plans if you're going between the cities over this weekend. That is the D-Rush Hour news headlines in the lead. And there is quite a hubbub out here at Target Field where all of the young baseball players, youth baseball players from around the state are here for a little. I presume they're going to do a pregame sort of parade on the field, which the Twins do with youth baseball teams a couple times a season. It's so fun. And all those kids are in the concourse right now because it is pouring.
Yeah, hopefully the warning track is still in good enough shape that they still get to do it, because that would be a bummer to miss out on. But, wow, yeah, it is coming down out here.
All right, we're about an hour and 20 minutes to game time. Twins and the Tigers, first time in town. How many Polad-related signs will there be? And how many people will be kicked out of Target Field for their Polad-related signs tonight? We'll see. Page 2 is coming up in just a minute of the D-Rush Hour News headlines. And, oh, goodness, we have some good stuff for you on Page 2, including those weird lights in the sky. On Tuesday night, what was it? An update on a local TV meteorologist lawsuit and an idea, maybe a better way we could deal with speeding in Minnesota. All of that as we continue with the D Rush Hour news headlines next. Nice, beautiful rain out here at Target. You know, we needed the rain. I don't know. Did we need the who knows? D Rush Hour news headlines in effect here on CCO. Let's start. Let me get my right story up here. Let's start with this sort of interesting drama in the skies on Tuesday night. I was getting all of these emails about all of people saying, like, what is going on? Oh, yeah. Was it a UFO? A lot of people were hoping it was a UFO. Dan, I know you're a big UFO guy. You love a UFO. No.
No. No.
But I was getting texts about this. Did you see this on Tuesday night?
I feel left out because I didn't see anything about this. Now, Tuesday night I was out, but, you know, I still was home early enough where I should have been informed somehow.
Someone should have told
you. Someone should have sent me a text message.
It was an interesting sort of light show, and it turns out, according to Bring Me the News, that it was not anything that people were hoping it was. It's like, this is what it looked like. If you're in the live stream, it was, how would you describe it? Just sort of like, almost looked like a squiggly light. It sort of looked like a Batman-type ship in the sky.
Yes, that's fair.
And it's not.
It's not.
But the what it was is sort of interesting. It was a fuel dump from a rocket launch. It was the launch of the Vulcan rocket from Cape Canaveral in Florida. Or was it the launch from the European spaceport in French Guiana? And they're pretty sure it was Guiana, right?
Which is, if you think about it, of all of the conspiracy tinfoil hat excuses that, you know, they make up for what UFOs actually are, the launch of a rocket from French Guiana seems a little bit out there. But, yeah, no, this wasn't anything nefarious or alien. So,
all right, next up, I want to talk about this unbelievable story near Sartell where investigators found a sunken car in the Mississippi River, and they have tied it to a missing persons case from 1967. Care 11, among the outfits reporting that human remains were found inside that car. It was spotted by a fisherman who detected it on his sonar finder and reported it to authorities. Stearns County Sheriff in Sartell closed Riverside Avenue. A dive team finds the vehicle that was on that sonar. Because the fisherman's like, what in the heck is this? Goes down there, and they find human remains, a missing person from the 1960s. Sheriff's officials say they believe the human remains belong to the man who was the registered owner of that Buick. So they found the VIN from the Buick. Said it was registered to a guy named Roy Benn. How about that? Was a local TV meteorologist a victim of sexual harassment at work?
Now, we do have the chance for some snow mixed in with the rain into Saturday morning for the Twin Cities. But when it comes to accumulating snowfall, that looks to be in a band of a pretty narrow band, actually.
All right, that is the voice of Ren Clare. Ren Clare was the chief meteorologist at KSTP. The Pioneer Press broke this story last night, reporting that she filed a sexual harassment and a retaliation lawsuit against KSTP. It included comments that Dave Dahl made to her, allegedly, and comments that her former boss, the news director, made against her. Ren Clare is apparently her TV name. Her legal name, according to the lawsuit, is Renee Fox. Now, the current news director at KSTP at Channel 5 is new, but she says her old boss regularly made offensive sex-based comments about her body and appearance. He voiced his preference for tighter-fitting outfits, complained when she wore pants instead of a dress, and complained about her decision to switch from blonde to her natural hair color. In Channel 5's legal response, it said that the context was discussion of her on-camera appearance, which is standard for on-air talent. The lawsuit is only against KSTP. It is not against any individual. She said Dave Dahl on multiple occasions commented on her appearance, telling her how great and slim she looked. But she says she reported Dahl's comments to her boss. And maybe this is how we should deal with speeding.
Oh, they're making a run for it. Oh, good, I love it. It's hot pursuit time, Flash.
This story is so interesting. It talks about how in Europe, many different countries, the way they figure out how much they're going to charge you for speeding is based on your wealth. The Associated Press reporting that a Swiss driver got a breathtaking $110,000 fine for going, Dan, this guy went almost 50 in a 30.
It was 17 miles over the, or 17 kilometers per hour over the limit, I believe, yeah.
So this guy is a repeat offender. He's one of Switzerland's wealthiest people. And in that region, they look at income, fortune, or general family financial situation. And this is not just Switzerland.
No.
Germany, France, Austria, and all the Nordic companies do this as, countries do this as well. In Switzerland in 2010, a millionaire Ferrari driver got about a $290,000 ticket for speeding in a Ferrari. Just amazing. I think it's very, very interesting, the approach that they have in Europe towards driving violations. But holy moly.
You mean pitchforks and torches if you tried to pull that routine here, right?
If you only stuck it to the super rich people, do you think it would be more acceptable? Maybe,
but I still think people would.
You got to be a billionaire to have that kind of a fine.
Sure.
There's some different kind of wealth, old money in Europe that maybe we don't
have
as.
You know, everybody in America wants to believe that they're one, you know, great idea away from being a billionaire themselves, which is why we all object to that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there is something to be said about that. That's the D-Rush Hour news headlines. Page 2 in the lead. We do it every day at 5, from 5 to 5:30. You can check it out wherever you get podcasts. You can always rewind during the show to any segment you like on the Odyssey app if you want to hear it, or on our YouTube stream, WCCO Radio. We'd love it if you'd like and subscribe and do all the things at all the places. That helps us so much if you subscribe to our podcast and watch us on the stream. We're just happy to be able to talk to you wherever you're looking for information and fun and content. And we do it live from Target Field today.